Good morning and welcome to everyone. Very special welcome to those who are visiting, and I know there are people visiting, and for those who are here for the first time. Please join us afterwards for tea or coffee in the Mayo Hall. I have some pastoral news. We've heard from Ron Kingham, and we've had permission to share with you that he's been diagnosed with chronic lymphocytic leukemia and will be commencing chemotherapy later this month. So can we think of Ron, Gail and their family and keep them in our prayers, please? Congratulations to Connor Holt, Alison's son, who received his A-level results on Thursday and is able to take his first choice place at Leeds University to study history in September. Can we also think and pray for members of our church who are currently unwell but do not wish to be mentioned? And there are a few of them. As part of Kingston Heritage Open Days programme, our sanctuary and the Richard Mayo Centre will be open to the public from 11 till 3pm on Friday and Saturday, the 11th and 12th of September. If you are able to come and act as a guide or greeter either day, please sign the form in the Mayo Hall on the notice board indicating when you are available. Further information for this day can be received from Cathy Seymour or John Fisher. I had a message from Catherine a couple of weeks ago to thank everybody who's stood in and done different duties for her. While Stuart's been away, she's been really, really pleased that so many people helped her. And there is a card at the back of the church to sign, because Pete and Kate Axton did give us some bubbly and some cake a couple of weeks ago. So that the card is at the back of the church. So please, please sign it, a card of thanks. Thank you. Now Leslie has something to say.
You may remember that last week We had the celebration service for the life of Anne Patterson, and I encouraged you to come even if you had not known Anne, because many of the people who did know her now are safely in the hands of Jesus. So I would like to say, in response to my plea, a heartfelt thank you to those of you who did turn up. I know many of you were there because you knew Anne and you loved her, but others of you were there because she is your sister in Christ. So thank you very much for those of you who made that special effort. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. let's begin our service by saying together the verses from Psalm 19. We'll say it all together, ignoring the difference in the print. The law of the Lord. Desired are they than gold, more than much fine gold, sweeter far than honey in the comb. By them also is your servant enlightened, and in keeping of them is how can we tell how often we offend? Cleanse me from my secret faults. Above all, keep your servant presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall and sound an innocent of a great defense. We join to sing, Lord of all being throned afar.
Thank you.
We join to pray. We calm our hearts and await the coming of God's Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit of God, come to us and among us. Come as the wind and cleanse us. Come as the fire and burn. Come as the dew and refresh. Convict, convert, and consecrate our hearts and lives to our great good and your greater glory. And this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, Spirit of purity and grace, in asking your forgiveness, we cannot claim a right to be forgiven, but only cast ourselves on your unbounded love. We cannot plead our merit or desert. We cannot plead the frailty of our nature. We cannot plead the force of the temptations we encounter. We can only rest on your promise and your love. May the Lord God grant us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. He will not cast us from his presence and will not take his Holy Spirit from us. We join in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Give us this day. John Watts is going to read our first reading from Ephesians.
Be careful how you live. Don't live like ignorant people, but like wise people. Make good use of every opportunity you have, because these are evil days. Don't be fools then, but try to find out what the Lord wants you to do. Do not get drunk with wine, which will only ruin you. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with the words of psalms, hymns, and sacred songs. Sing hymns and psalms to the Lord with praise in your hearts. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, always give thanks for everything to God the Father. Here ends this reading.
The second reading is read by Sue Watts.
The second reading is taken from the Gospel according to John, chapter 6, beginning at verse 51. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I give so that the world may live. This started an angry argument among them. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? They asked. Jesus said to them, "I am telling you the truth. If you do not eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will not have life in yourselves. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them to life on the last day. For my flesh is the real food, my blood is the real drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood live in me, and I live in them. The living Father sent me, and because of him I live also. In the same way, whoever eats me will live because of me. This then is the bread that came down from heaven. It is not like the bread that your ancestors ate. They later died. But those who eat this bread will live forever." Jesus said this as he taught in the synagogue at Capernaum. Here ends the second reading. Thanks be to God.
We join to sing hymn 449, "I hunger and I thirst, Jesus my manna be, O living water, burst out of the rock for me." Words that are familiar lose their impact. Yet even we balk at the words of today's gospel. If you do not eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will have no life in you. Now try to imagine the shudder of pious Jews invited to eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. We automatically spiritualize the words. But for Jews, drinking blood was absolutely forbidden, as it is now also for Muslims. So what does Jesus mean in this extraordinary passage where he speaks of our need to drink his blood? In his commentary on John, Tom Wright gives a clue to the meaning by quoting a story about King David in the Old Testament. David and his men were pinned down in a battle, and David said aloud how he longed for a drink from the water of the well of Bethlehem, which was behind the Philistine lines. Three of his bravest soldiers broke through the Philistine army, got water from the well at Bethlehem, and brought it back to David. But David did not drink it. He said, "God forbid that I should drink the blood of these men who went at the risk of their lives." He poured it out on the ground as an offering to God. He didn't want to be seen to profit from their readiness to put their lives on the line because of him. But when Jesus speaks of drinking his blood, he is saying, if you want to profit from what I'm doing, you must drink my blood and eat my flesh. And if you do, you'll live forever. David refused to drink the blood of his comrades. Jesus will put his own life at risk and lose it, and insists that we profit from his death. We will have our thirst quenched by our identification with his death and all that that means. In the New Testament, the concept of our identity with the body and blood of Jesus is introduced gradually. In the first three Gospels, the command of Jesus to share bread and wine as the symbols of his body and blood is given only to believers. It is an intimate instruction given to his closest friends in the last meal that he shared with them. Jesus specifically linked it to his coming death. "I tell you, I will never drink this wine again until the day when I drink the new wine in the kingdom of God." So for Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the institution of the Eucharist is given privately for the disciples only, as a central part of the Lord's actions at the Last Supper in Jerusalem. Now consider today's reading from St. John's Gospel. Here there is no privacy, no inner group, and the words of Jesus are used to confront and challenge outsiders and opponents. Jesus says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" John is writing a generation later than the first three Gospels, and he is taking us into a different world. His Gospel reflects the difficulty of explaining to skeptical outsiders how the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus can bring them life. We see clearly the incomprehension of the listeners. John records that when many of Jesus' own disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" I think John is describing the problems faced by Christians some 60 years after Jesus' resurrection. So we see in his gospel how Jesus' message of new life is now addressed to all people, to the crowd, not just to the disciples, as might be thought if you had only read the earlier gospels. And we also see how the saving message now relates to the whole events of Jesus' life and ministry, not just his death. Today's passage is rarely difficult. However, it may help to understand John's purpose and Jesus' teaching if we track through the whole events of chapter 6, which lead up to Jesus saying, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven." The chapter starts with the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus takes 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, and all 5,000 have plenty to eat. But the response of the crowd is to make Jesus king by force, so he escapes to the hills by himself. Meanwhile, his disciples set off to cross the lake. They got caught in a storm and are terrified to see Jesus walking on the water. He calms the storm and they reach land. On the other side, the crowds are astonished to see him because they knew he had not started off in the boat. Jesus says, "You've only come because you ate the bread and had all you wanted. Don't eat for the food that goes bad, but work for the food which lasts for eternal life. This is the food which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has put his mark of approval upon him." They say, "Perform a miracle so that we may believe you. Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. As the scripture says, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. What are you going to do?" The reference to manna is a direct challenge, because Jews believed that when in the last days manna was given again, it would mean that the disciple, the Messiah, had come. So Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. I have come down from heaven to do not my own will, but the will of one who sent me." The crowd then say, "How can he have come down from heaven? We know his parents." Jesus replied, "Stop grumbling among yourselves. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I give so that the world may live." The crowd then say, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus replies, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me, and I in him. The living Father sent me, and because of him I live also. In the same way, whoever eats me will live because of me." Throughout this whole chapter, we are left in no doubt that some of Jesus' hearers, perhaps all of them, understand his words in the crudest and most literal way. The feeding of the 5,000 does not lead the crowd to recognize God's power in what Jesus had done, or to ask who he was. They only want to find a way of holding on to this miraculous provider of free food. The distinction between bread to eat and living bread passes them by. Above all, any idea that the cost to Jesus of giving the bread of life is his own life is not even glimpsed. In our reading for today, Jesus describes and sees himself as the Son of Man. The Son of Man is the man of universal destiny. Jesus says, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Why does he describe himself as the Son of Man? Well, we find the answer in the book of Daniel. To the Son of Man was given dominion and glory and kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. It is part of the calling of men of destiny that they risk martyrdom, and they know it. Jesus specifically saw his death as sealing his redeeming work. Remember at the Last Supper, he gave them the cup and said, "This cup is God's new covenant sealed with my blood, which is poured out for you." His words on the cross when he was dying were, "It is finished," or "My work is now complete." Jesus forged a new covenant by his teaching and his death, and he sealed it by his death and resurrection. Our acceptance of his covenant requires that we agree to profit from the cost of his dying, his flesh and his blood. The new covenant enables us to be reconciled with God. And this happens increasingly as we forsake self-centered ways and give ourselves to others, as Jesus did. And we cannot do this by trying, nor can we do it by meditating upon and imitating Jesus. Jesus is not merely a teacher about God. The power of God was set at work in the world in a new way through his life, ministry, death, and resurrection. We are saved into a new community of love, which Jesus founded by his life of love that inexorably landed him upon the cross. In this sense, we can say, by his stripes we are healed. Because we are incorporated into his body, his spirit will breathe in us, enabling us to live his life of love. We are saved, not merely from the consequences of lovelessness, a literal or metaphorical hell. We are saved from lovelessness itself and the meaninglessness of life, which that means for all human beings. Jesus said, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I give so that the world may live." We keep silence for a few moments. We join to sing, God is love, let heaven adore him. We make our prayers for ourselves, for our community, for the area in which we live, and for all people across the world. Gracious God, we thank you that you have nourished us with the bread of life and the cup of salvation. Renew us day by day, until with all your people on earth and in heaven, we come to fullness of life in your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We thank you, O God, for you are gracious. You have loved us from the beginning of time, and you remember us in times of trouble and of joy. Your mercy endures forever. We thank you, O God, because you came to us in Jesus Christ, who has redeemed the world and saved us from our sins. Your mercy endures forever. We thank you, O God, for you have sent your Holy Spirit, who comforts us and leads us into all truth. Your mercy endures forever. We come to you to pray for all people everywhere according to their need. We pray for Christians throughout the world. For their unity in the community of love. For the fulfillment of your mission. For all ministers of the gospel. And here we remember particularly Leslie and Sukin in our own community. And we pray for all the members and friends of our church. Strengthen your church in the service of Christ, that we and all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray to God for all the nations and peoples of the world. And within all those nations, those who serve the common good. We pray especially for our own country and government, and for all in authority. For the members of our local authority, for those who work in the health service and in social services. And at this critical time, for those who work in education, in the schools and universities. Give wisdom and insight to all those who hold authority. Direct this and every nation in the ways of justice and of peace, that we may honor one another and seek the common good. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let's pray for those we know and love, for the local community, and for our own families and friends. Give grace to us, to our families and friends, and to all our neighbors, that we may serve Christ in one another and love as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy, let's remember and pray for all who suffer in any way. for those known to us who we mention in the silence or are aware of in the silence before God. We pray for those who suffer, for the sick. We pray for those who mourn, for those who have no faith. And for those carers whose life is swallowed up in caring for other people. Comfort and heal all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let's remember all who have died, giving thanks especially for those who have died in the faith of Christ, in this community, we have a rich cloud of witnesses. Members of this community who have died. And who reveal to us the love and strength of Jesus. We commend all people to your unfailing love, that in them your will may be fulfilled. And we rejoice at the faithful witness of your saints in every age, praying that we may share with them in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue our service as we make our offertory. Lord God, we bring to you the ordinary things of life, food, drink, and money, and with them we bring ourselves. We come with these gifts to offer the praise of our lips and the service of our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We join to sing, "Praise to the Holiest in the Height, and in the Depth be Praise." Now by the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with us and remain with us always. Amen. We say the grace to each other. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen.